Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and reading verses 41 to 59. Then the Jews complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So far the reading of God's word. And also we read from the heart of a catechism. On page 62 and Lord's Day 50, and question and answer 125. What does the fourth request mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means, "Do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone." Dear people of God, our petition before us this evening moves us from our focus on glorifying God in terms of his being and purposes, to glorifying him in regard to his fatherly care for his world and creatures, especially, of course, his children. Even in our prayer request for daily needs, however, we reflect the loving kindness of our God not only on the physical level, but also on the spiritual. And the Catechism certainly brings out that truth when it asks us, in regard to prayer, general questions in regard to prayer, as to what should we pray for. And the Catechism makes it very clear that when we pray to him, that our prayers should cover everything we need spiritually and physically. And it says, as embraced in the Lord's Prayer. And of course, the Lord's Prayer, as we're looking at it, does. It talks about our spiritual needs, but it also goes on with respect to our physical needs as well. And Peter reflects that too in terms of God's blessings. He says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and denotes this fact that everything that we need for life and godliness has been granted to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ provides for us on both levels, spiritual and physical. And that's important because there's a tendency on some within the church to think that God provides for our spiritual needs, i.e. forgiveness of sins, preservation of our faith, but that when it comes to the physical necessities of life, well, then that's up to us. That we have to take care of that. But he just takes care of these other things. But the fact of the matter is, all the testimony of Scripture speaks a different truth. In the Garden of Eden, God didn't simply say, look, I've given you the earth, now take care of it and take care of yourselves. No, he provided for their physical needs. They had all that they needed. They didn't have to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God provided with ample amounts of food to take care of their physical needs, as well as, of course, access to him in terms of their spiritual needs. And throughout the Old Testament, we know that with respect to his, not only in terms of families and clans, in terms of extended family, but also when he gathered together to himself a people, the Jews, that he provided for their every need, physical as well as spiritual. And certainly the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is an eloquent example of this fact. Because the Lord Jesus Christ saw to the physical needs of all those around him. So when he did go and preach, he healed many, many people. Why? Well, because he had compassion on them. Even to the point that when he's preaching, he is mindful of the physical condition those people are in. And so when he sees that they've been with him all day and sees the hunger, no doubt, on their faces, he is not willing to send them away like his disciples tell him to. But rather he wants to provide for their physical needs of nourishment. So it's important then as Christians that we understand that God's love toward us incorporates every aspect of our life. So that it's not that we look to God for one thing and we look to ourselves or the world for other things. No. We look to God for everything. All good gifts come to us from God's fatherly hands. It is he that provides in terms of crops, in terms of food. The Israelites, and we have it too, here, of course, in terms of Thanksgiving, but in other countries, like Harvest Festival, which is to bring God thanks for the necessities that he provides for us day by day. And so that ought to have an impact upon us and a better understanding of our faith and relationship to God, that we depend on Him for everything. And so when you pray, it's not wrong for us to pray for the physical necessities that we have. It's not like we're wasting God's time and God is thinking, well, why don't you get on to important things? I mean, you know, these are not important. No, they are important. And we need to see that they come from Him. And so this request then focuses our mind on our dependency upon God and our daily dependency on God. It's not something we ask Him once and that's it. No. We need Him every day. Just as we need food every day. And so the Lord Jesus Christ brings His teaching in this regard down to a very basic level. So in this passage, He's talking about the bread from heaven. He's talking about the manna in the wilderness, showing that that was pointing to a far greater blessing of God that incorporates many, much more in terms of our needs than simply the feeding of our physical bodies, even though, of course, it included that. So the first thing with this, with respect to this truth of daily bread is this, that it is the bread of heaven. It is the bread of heaven. And therefore, it is from God. Though obvious, we need to state it, as I've said. Our food and drink, our sustenance that we need on a very basic level, finds its source from one person and from one place, and that is from the God of heaven. Everything around us comes from God. Our very life comes from God. He reminded them, the Jews, of course, that their spiritual needs came from God. I mean, they had become so proud as to think that they just took care of themselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ reminded them that they owed everything to God. And that this bread that they needed was that which came from Him. I mean, they fixated on the bread of heaven that they got in the wilderness from Moses. And they couldn't see past that. They couldn't see the lesson, as it were, that taught. It taught them that everything that they need comes from heaven itself. They didn't work for it. They didn't grow it. They didn't nurture it. It just came down from the sky. God provided it for them. And even though the manner in which we receive God's blessings in that regard now are not the same in the sense it doesn't just fall down from the sky. But just as miraculously, it comes from His hand. It comes out of the ground. I mean, is that any less miraculous that we sprinkle seeds on the ground and up comes this abundant harvest? It's not something that we can explain. It's not something scientists can say, oh, well, this is how it works. Look how it... No. It's confusing to us. That's the way Paul speaks about the seed. He said, it goes into the ground and it dies. But lo and behold, with the blessing of God, it comes forth much more different than it went in, and with greater capacity to see to our needs. And so abundant is God's supply that even though there are 5-6 billion people on this earth, and there have been so many from the beginning, of course, until this point, and yet the earth has not failed to provide for the needs. I mean, what kind of parlor has God provided for us? That all those people, all those nations, not even mentioning the fact that many have resisted Him and profaned His name, and yet they have still been fed. And so there's no denying, it's an obvious fact that our physical needs, the provisions that we have day by day, come to us not because of our strength and ability, our skill. They come to us from heaven. It is indeed the bread of heaven. And of course, God's benevolence is spoken about in this regard in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That God sends his rain and sunshine on the righteous and the unrighteous. Both groups of people owe their survival to God's provisions. And so we have to recognize that. Otherwise we put so much attention onto the manner in which God has provided that food, such that we begin to trust in the process. We trust in the techniques to get better crops and more abundant crops. And we trust in our ability to manipulate the soil and its mineral contents and whatever to get better returns, as it were. And we think as long as we understand all of those things, everything will be taken care of. I mean, not that it's wrong for us to think about those things and to study those things. But when we turn our minds and hearts away from God and fixate on those things, as those things have the answer for all of our needs, is indeed to make a fatal error. No, it's from God's hands. Everything belongs to God. Everything is in the control of God. And it is He, by His providential care, that sees to it that we receive from His hands liberally and that we are fed day by day. And so every time we eat, every time we drink, there's a tangible lesson there for us. God is taking care of you. Even though we haven't prayed, even though that day, even though we're not living in obedience to Him, every time we eat, the message comes through. You can't stand alone. You depend on God. Even while you're breathing insults toward His word, yet when you eat, it is from His hands that you are receiving that nourishment. So even more for us as Christians then, that when we eat and see that physical food, even more for us that we need to take the time to recognize that and of course to return thanks. So when we say grace, it's not some superstitious tradition that we have, as though somehow, you know, if we don't pray, that food's not going to do us good. No. It's out of the recognition that God is loving and kind towards us, and He's provided for us. He's not forgotten about us. Even though there are that many billions of people on this earth, He has provided for me. And we need to thank Him and honor Him for it. And so we do in this petition by directing our call for these things to Him. Feed us this day our daily bread. A recognition that it comes from Him and that we are dependent upon Him and that we thank Him for all of these blessings. But it is not only from heaven. The bread, as this passage clearly indicates to us and lifts us beyond the physical to the spiritual, that the Lord Jesus Christ says, the bread is Himself. He is the bread of heaven. Just as we need that physical bread that God provides, in the same way we need the spiritual. And that is all bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of heaven. And that the bread in terms of manna in the wilderness that the Jews had experienced in their history and looked back to, that was only pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for them simply to put all their confidence in this ability or in this provision of God to provide for them food, even if they did get that message, on the physical level, but to fail to go to the next level and to see what that is pointing forward to is to make a fatal mistake. We're not just in need of physical food and drink. We're in need of spiritual nourishment. And so just as in the Lord's Supper, the connection between spiritual nourishment and physical food is so clear, so here, the bread from heaven, manna in the wilderness, was a foreshadowing of God sending His Son into the world to be our Savior, to be our spiritual nourishment, to be the source of our spiritual life. Just as without physical food in time we will die, so without the Lord Jesus Christ we perish. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says what He says. If you don't eat My flesh, if you don't drink My blood, you have no life in you. Now, obviously speaking on the spiritual level. I mean, there are many people that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Him. They don't live to honor Him. Yet they still have physical life because God is gracious and He allows them His physical blessings for a certain time, this life. So they enjoy His physical blessings. But when they deny the Lord Jesus Christ, when they won't see Him as the spiritual bread, they're not going to partake of Him. They're not going to believe Him. They're not going to trust Him. And they're certainly not going to agree with respect to His death, that it's a source of spiritual freedom for them. And you know that that, of course, is what happened, that when He was on the cross giving His life for sinners, all that they could do is mock, deny these very things, deny that He was from God. Let Him alone, they said. Let's see if God will help Him. I mean, all these claims He makes, which we of course deny, let's see if God will come and help Him. Let's see if God will rescue Him. But of course, little did they know that act, that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was the spiritual provision that they needed. And that He would not abandon providing such provisions for them. And so He gave His life so that we might have life. And such truths were so difficult that the passage immediately after this one says that even His disciples turned away from Him. Because they thought somehow He was meaning that they had to actually eat His flesh and drink His blood. But of course, clearly He wasn't saying that. But of course they had problems with Him laying down His life for them as well. Right? They didn't want Him to do that. They didn't understand that. And they fought hard to deter Him from doing that. But they didn't understand. But afterwards they did. Afterwards they understood that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely essential. And that's why they preached Christ and Christ crucified. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the very means by which we receive spiritual nourishment. And so if we don't believe in him, then we're cut off. I mean, the analogy is, if we don't believe in him, that's like giving up on food and drink. Right? I mean, you make the choice of not eating and drinking, and you know you're not going to last too long. I mean, I don't know what the record is of people going without food. I don't know, a month maybe? Probably not. Especially without drink, you're not going to last long. You're going to perish. It's just as certain that if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we don't trust in his work on the cross as a substitutionary atonement for our sins, then we will eternally perish. We will be alienated from God for eternity. So this bread is Christ. And it is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that that bread becomes nourishment for us. So it wasn't simply that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth and that's it, took care of everything. No. It was more than that. He had to die on the cross to make those provisions available to us. And so the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely essential for us in terms of our spiritual nourishment and well-being. We don't believe in that. We don't partake in that. And then really we're cut off. We will perish. And so God, as we focus on physical food and know how important it is, and everyone tells us how we ought to eat and not overeat, and how we need to be aware of nutritional value of what we eat. Well, the same on the spiritual level. You don't eat with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, then you have no nourishment. Whatever it is that you go to this world to provide that nourishment, it will not be able to provide it for you. That's why Isaiah speaks the way that he does. Why do you spend your money on that which will not satisfy you? You look for your spiritual needs to this world, to this, to that, everywhere, all over the place. But there's nothing in this world that will satisfy that need. There's nothing in this world that will take care of that. There's only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to recognize that it's not simply the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the moral teaching that he brought, which, quite frankly, some people like. I mean, people that have no interest in God, even in terms of communism, they like some things that Jesus says, but they pick and choose, of course. But they want nothing to do with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what civil religion is in terms of Christianity. They're like, you know, things about law and order and everyone treating everyone in love and everything else like that. But as soon as you start speaking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and sin and God's judgment against sin taken out on his son, they don't want anything to do with that. So this bread that we pray for, our daily provisions, includes the spiritual nourishment that we need. But simply to pray that and not know where it is and what it is useless. So once we know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ and it's his death on the cross that is the very source of our spiritual nourishment, then knowing that means we need to go there and feed upon it. I mean, we can have a house full of food, right? Just speaking on the physical level. We can have a house full of food. But if we never go to the parlor or the refrigerator and get that food out and prepare it and eat it, what good is that? I mean, the parents can provide all the food that they want for their children, but if their children don't partake of it, they don't eat of it, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, they may be fully aware of the fact that without food, physical food, they're going to perish. But just that knowledge doesn't do you any good. You have to put that into practice. You have to eat, and you have to eat well, and you need to eat balanced. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply because we know that He's our spiritual nourishment, simply that we know that His death on the cross is the source of all of our blessings, unless we go there, unless we reflect upon that, unless we trust upon that, unless we eat His flesh and drink His blood, figuratively speaking, we have no life in us. So when we read His word, when we pray to Him, then we need to understand that that is what is nourishing our soul. That is what is providing for all that we need. And I mean, that's what the Old Testament teaches, doesn't it? Making this connection between the physical and the spiritual. Man shall not live by bread alone. I mean, they had manna in the wilderness. They had bread and meat. But Moses reminds them, man shall not live by bread alone. Simply because we've got bread from heaven, you shouldn't be content and say, that's all we need. We don't need the promised land. We've got a food supply that will never fail. That's not enough. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you may look healthy because you have good food, good nutrition. But your spiritual life may be in shambles. But it too can be healthy as it is focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, not only does God provide for our physical needs, and spiritual needs, we certainly need to stress that and stress how important it is. It's life and death, eternal life and eternal death, with respect to understanding that and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also important for us to understand, while we live on this earth, that He does provide for our physical needs too. And I've already alluded to that with respect to God providing physical food for them in the Old Testament, all the way from the Garden of Eden, all the way to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that reflected that. So we need to understand that our relationship with God as believers, He takes care of all those things too. And that's why the catechism is so important, because when it talks about God, our Father, those are the subject that it treats. It speaks about God as the creator of the heavens and the earth. It speaks about God's power, because He controls everything. And then it speaks about our relationship to Him as our Father, so that He uses that power, He uses that control for our well-being. And then, of course, it goes on with respect to providence, the actual working out of that power for the well-being of His people. And so that's where it speaks about all the different circumstances of our lives, you know, whether it's poverty or whether it's riches, whether it's sickness or whether it's health, whether it's bumper crops or we don't have enough. All of these things, rain and drought, don't happen by chance. God controls everything. Not only did He create this world in which we live, He controls it. It's in His hands. It's not a machine for man to exploit and modify at will. He owns it. He controls it. And it serves His purposes. And that's vital for us believers to understand. Because otherwise, we kind of separate our life into separate compartments. One in terms of our spiritual, but then the other one, as I said, we just take care of ourselves. And that's sad. Because that's not, in fact, true with respect to the Scriptures. So we are to be concerned, with these things in terms of our physical needs. And so we ought to pray to God. And we ought to bring before Him these needs. So when we're struggling, not only when we're struggling, of course, just like the Catechism says, when things are going well for us on that level, on the physical level, well, things are going well. When we've got a good job and we're earning lots of money, we've got enough food to feed all of our children and more besides. When we're in that situation, what is our attitude toward God should it be? It ought to be one of thankfulness. Not that we don't mention these things in our prayers anymore because we've got enough, right? Like the rich fool. Oh, sit back, relax, you know, you don't have to pray to God, everything's taken care of. No, that's not our response. Our response ought to be thankfulness. So those that are rich, those that are well off, those that have their parlors full of food, ought not to leave this petition out of the Lord's Prayer and not mention anything. But rather they ought to be thankful. They ought to thank God for providing for their needs and thank Him for His compassion towards them. But when we go through difficult times and things are not as certain, when our next wage check is not so certain, and the parlor is not full of food, and there's not that guarantee that we have provisions for the next day, never mind the next week or the next month, it is not out of place for us to pray to God in such specific terms. Give us our daily bread. In other words, Father, it's from You that we expect daily food. And we know that it comes from Your hands. We know that You have control over all of these things. So we're praying to You. We're acknowledging You as our Father. And we're asking. And our God encourages us in that when He says, look, what son asks his father for bread? And He gives him a stone. What child asks for fish? And He gives him a scorpion. No. God has no ill will towards us that He wants us to starve. He wants to provide. I mean, what parent is there that wants their children to starve? None. That are in their right mind. And so God wants us to ask. God wants us to pray for these things. And so we shouldn't be embarrassed about doing that. In fact, we need to remind ourselves that it is from His hands and that we do need to ask it. But by what avenues does He answer that prayer? How are we to look for our prayers to be answered when we pray in those terms? Well, God provides in many different ways, but the most basic way that God provides for our needs is through the avenue of work. I mean, that's the way He started with Adam and Eve, right? What does He tell them? He tells them to work the ground, to take care of this earth, to plant, to grow things, so that they could eat of God's provisions. God's provisions were built in, and God made it so that when they worked, that the earth would provide God's provisions for them. So when we pray for our daily needs, and then we go to work, and we work hard, and we earn money to buy food, we shouldn't think, oh, what was the point of me praying? I went to work, and I got the money, and I bought food, and therefore that's where I need to put my trust and confidence. No. Just because God's provisions for us come through this mediated way, in other words, work and get money and go and buy food, but if God did not provide food, if God did not bless the land, no matter how much money you made, you'd have nothing to eat. Because in the end, the food comes from the earth. So work ought to be seen and respected. It's the way that God has chosen to provide for our needs. Now you may say, well, some people get given. Yeah, but those people that give actually work to get that food. As I said, there are no free lunches. In fact, God says to his churches, warns them, that somebody that doesn't work, you ought not to help them. I mean, understand what it's saying. That if somebody deliberately exploits this system by not wanting to work, in other words, rejecting God's avenues of providing provisions, and is just lazy and just wants to sit at home and expect others to, as people do, right, put a guilt trip on the churches. Well, aren't you supposed to be loving? Aren't you supposed to provide? I mean, they do nothing, and they want to lay a guilt trip on us. So Paul says, look, if somebody doesn't work, then don't feed them. Don't give them any food. Why? So that they will learn from their error. That perhaps they don't listen to other people. They don't listen to the word of God. Perhaps they will listen to their stomach when it's starving. And they connect that with their laziness. No. I mean, those that are legitimately in trouble over various things, we ought to feed them. We ought to provide. We ought to be generous to them. That's why in the Old Testament, when they reaped harvest, they were to leave things behind. But notice what it was. They didn't pick them up and put them in a care package and go out and hand them out to people in the street. Those people had to get up and go to the fields and go behind them when they're reaping and reap for themselves. And by so doing, to realize that their provisions were coming from God's hands. And it was through the avenue of work that those provisions were being provided. So we ought to have a healthy respect for work. As believers, we shouldn't fall into that trap of laziness, and especially in our day and age, the temptation that people have is to do that. Well, I'm not going to get ahead if I work, I don't earn enough, so I'm not going to work, I'm just going to rely on the government. Well, maybe if the government took that wisdom of God's word, we would be in a better shape as a society. He that refuses to work and can work, well, they shouldn't get any help at all. Maybe it'll get them off their backside and out on the street and looking for work. But they're encouraged. And so people stay at home. They spend their lives depending on the government. But that's not the way God ordered things. No. He will take care of them. He wants to provide for their needs. But he does so by the means of work. But also he does so through benevolence. As I said, there are some that cannot work for one reason or another. They cannot work. It's not that they don't want to work, but the circumstances don't allow that. Maybe they're blind. Maybe they're crippled. Who knows? And so the Old Testament recognized that there were people in such a situation, and God commanded his people to be benevolent. As I just alluded to that fact. Not only in terms of when they reaped their harvest to leave some behind so that others could come and pick and glean, as they were, like Ruth did, you remember. But also they gave alms to the poor by giving money so that the poor could be taken care of. And God's word speaks about that. In fact, our forms speak about that. When we do the installation of elders and deacons, you remember when we did two or three weeks ago, it spoke about that God would give to those that he's blessed abundantly generous hearts, and that God would give to those that receive grateful hearts, because we can be so full of pride that we don't want anyone's help. So even though God is providing us through them, we're saying, no, 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 because I'm so proud, I don't want to receive anyone's help. And God is saying, no. So there are times when, through no fault of our own, and through no lack of respect for the avenue of work, we find ourselves in a very vulnerable position. Well, God isn't saying, you're useless now. I don't care about you. I'm just going to let you perish. No, no, no. He provides for us through the benevolence that works its way through God's people. And so they're to receive that. And when they receive it, yes, they need to be grateful to those people that are channeling God's benevolence to them, but ultimately they need to be thankful to God himself. That God has heard their prayer. And not only through benevolence, of course, but we have also miracles. And that we have, of course, in the Old Testament in terms of manna from heaven that God gave, but also in the New Testament as the Lord Jesus Christ took a handful of loaves and a few fishes and fed 3,000 people, 4,000 people. I mean, that was through miraculous means. So God is able to do that. And down in history, he has. We have ample evidence of that. Elijah, of course, as well. So God is not limited to the ways that he can provide for our needs. They're varied. So when we pray to God, we need to be mindful of all of these ways so that we don't lose hope. So that we say, oh, God only provides through work, and since I don't have a job, now God's benevolence and care for me is shut tight. I'm not going to get it because this avenue is shut. No, 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 that's not the only avenue. God has other avenues. So that even when they were in the wilderness, some 500,000, maybe more, people in the wilderness for 40 years, I mean, where were they going to grow stuff? Even if every one of them were diligent in terms of working, what, they were going to grow things in the sand? Absolutely not. But did that mean that God was not able to feed them? Absolutely not. God is not limited in his ways. And so in these miraculous ways, God has provided for the needs of his people. And what is the purpose of making all of these provisions, both in the spiritual and on the physical level? God gives us bread for a purpose. He gives us bread to communicate his love, his compassion towards us. That God is not against us. He's not there up in heaven without concern for us. That he is concerned. Concerned about every need that we have. And he's gone through all this trouble to provide for those needs for us. I.e. in terms of the creation, in terms of the way that it runs. God is, it's us in mind that God is causes the earth to work as it does for our benefit. And same on the spiritual level. Why did God send his son into the world? Was it because he was lacking something in heaven? Was he that he was bored and he wanted to do something? No, that wasn't the reason why. Well, the scripture tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's out of compassion for us that God took this step to send his son into the world and to sacrifice him so that through his blood and through his flesh we might have eternal life. So God provides all of these things for us in order that he may bring us into a right relationship with himself. That we might know him, that we might enjoy him, that we might glorify him. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we include the physical and the spiritual, but we do so with the purpose of using those blessings that God gives to us to bring Him honor and Him glory. We want physical food so that we have strength enough to go about being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want Him to provide spiritual nourishment for us so that we have the wherewithal to be faithful witnesses with respect to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we're asking for our needs, we're doing it for the sole purpose of what the first part of the Lord's Prayer directs us to, which is, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So God feeds His servants that are serving Him. And so we need to turn to Him. We need to look to Him day by day and ask Him for all of these things. But don't forget that He's giving you all of these things to serve Him. Not to build our own empire, not to build our own body, not to draw attention to ourselves. No, but that we might have all that we need for life and godliness. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You once again for Your love toward us. Our Father, we sometimes forget the comprehensiveness of Your provisions for us. And our Father, we cannot even begin to grasp the trouble, the minute detail that You have worked out, all for our benefit, from the very constitution of the air that surrounds this world, the balance of all the gases. And our Father, we realize that if that wasn't so, we would all perish. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that the way that You've created this world, again, is wonderfully suited to our needs. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can enjoy the fruits of this wonderful creation. And we know they come from Your hands. And our Father, we also thank You that that pictures for us in such a beautiful way Your love for us on the spiritual level that You have provided just as extensively, but far more gloriously that can be reflected by this natural creation. For You have given us Your Son, Your eternal Son, Your only Son, who is without price, and yet You've given Him to us freely. And so, our Father, we pray that we would not fail to recognize Him and to feed upon His sacrifice on the cross. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would indeed provide us with such nourishments that we might have physical health as well as spiritual, so that we can be strong and effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in this week. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would see to the needs of all of Your people, and may they glorify You in all that they do. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.